you would, bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, your word in Revelation 19 says, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are true words of God." Lord, when I first read this scripture many years ago, it was so exciting to me. We're so grateful and thankful to have this glimpse into our future, showing us what we have to look forward to. In the meantime, it also tells us that our time here, our life, is a preparation for our upcoming wedding, where our righteous acts now, during this time of preparation, will clothe us. And like any bride, we want beautiful wedding clothes that will take our bridegroom's breath away. So we want to commit ourselves to giving this morning and every Sunday morning to our church offering and mission projects as if we are giving a wedding gift to Jesus. And in every area of our life, we want to commit to making ourselves ready. And we are asking you today to speak to us through the message and show us where we may be holding back, where our acts may not be righteous in your eyes, so that we can commit to working on it with your help. For there is nothing that you cannot transform in us, and we joyfully take on the name of our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, and we want to become the bride that is worthy of him. So thank you for that privilege and the joy and the celebration that is coming, and we don't want to miss it. Help us to see our life as a preparation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
It's good to laugh. Amen. Can you laugh in church? I hope so. If it ever gets to the point that I can't enjoy serving the Lord, you know, I really believe God wants us to enjoy him. Amen. And he enjoys us. And so I don't know who you're married to. Maybe you feel like your life is falling all to pieces, or your wife is falling all to pieces, or your husband's falling all to pieces. But the question that I'm trying to get you to see today, and I know this might be a challenge, are you married or dating Jesus in your relationship? Think about this for a moment. In your marriage, because I'm here to preach this today, if Jesus is not in your marriage, you're in trouble, okay? Because you see, our relationship to him, let me tell you my rule that I have in my personal life. If there's something between me and Sherry, the first rule, rule that I have in my mind, in my heart, is that, all right, God, what's wrong with me and you? Because I must have done something between me and God, because something's not right between me and Sherry. That's the way I see a relationship. So I have to go to God and say, all right, God, get me right. Because you say, well, Pastor, can't Sherry be wrong? She could be, but the fact is, I'm feeling something. And so I think it has a lot to say about my relationship to God. I do. I think it goes back to my relationship to God, because I've got to look at my heart and say, all right, if my heart is right with the Lord, if I'm as close to God as I need to be, then my relationship with her will be right. You get an amen on that? Amen. I mean, that's how it works. I want you to see it in that light, the 2020 vision of marriage. Are you married or dating Jesus? So take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin reading verse 22. Ephesians 5:22. Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. And by the way, I don't know how to say that any clearer. Church, you have a man behind this pulpit that believes the word of God to be without error. I stand on this book. Amen. And you know, by every point, I write these notes out every Sunday so that anyone could come to me and say, Pastor, where did you find that in the Bible? Every point I've got today, I've got at least 3 to 4 references, most times 6 or 7. So here's the Word of God, and I stand on the Word of God. Wives, and I know this word is not popular today, submit. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as in the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, don't let me lose you. All right, we're going to explain what that means. Therefore, And anytime you see the word therefore, you need to look why it's there for, okay? Why is it there? Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. That's where all this is in context. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. And Father, as we study this great mystery today, help us to understand that you speak concerning Christ in the church. I pray for your Holy Spirit to be here today teaching us, and that you would anoint me afresh and anew and speak through me with clarity, truth, and authority. Thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This passage is especially important in light of our day, more so than ever before in reading the scripture, thinking of our present culture. The foundation of marriage is eroding. It's crumbling. People are confused about gender, marriage, and family. Some are outright hostile to the historic Christian values and the view of marriage in the Bible. A recent article that I read said this: for the first time in history, Western civilization is confronted with the need to define the meaning of the terms, can you believe this? Marriage and family. What until now has been considered a normal family made up of a father, mother, and a number of children has in recent years begun to be viewed as one among several options. This passage gives us the ultimate purpose of marriage. Are y'all ready for it? Namely, to glorify Jesus Christ. That is what marriage is all about. And I think that's why Satan is coming against it. You remember Satan, Lucifer, was kicked out of heaven, the angel of light, because he was trying to exalt himself above God. He is very jealous of God's glory. And so the reason he's attacking relationships and marriage is because marriage is an institution that God instituted. He put the first man and first woman together. And by the way, it was a man and a woman. Did y'all know that? Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve or Eve and whatever her name might be. Well, anyway, so here's the thing. This passage, and the understanding, it gives a clear understanding of the glory of Christ, and everything in the passage points to Christ. Look at verse 22. He says, as to the Lord, verse 25, as Christ loved the church. Verse 29, as Christ does for the church. Everything comes back to Christ. So the question that I have given the title of this message is, are you married or dating Jesus? God's 2020 vision for marriage. Our marriage is to look like the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, and his bride, the church. Our vision has become blurred, tarnished, and even misconstrued. Let me ask you something. Are you in a serious, committed, legal, covenant relationship called marriage to Jesus? Or are you just dating him? Now, allow me to clarify dating. Dating is not a legal relationship. It's not a covenant relationship. It is not a committed relationship unless you have got really serious about it and you've committed by engagement. Engagement would be more than dating. However, as I heard a great quote from this certain pastor, if you keep doing the same things after you get married that you did before you got married, you will never be unmarried. By the way, that was my own quote, so I quoted myself. I don't endorse him, but anyway. So on the other hand, there's nothing wrong with going on a date with a legal, committed, covenant wife or husband. Every Friday night, I take Sherry out. We do something together just for her. I'm married to her, but I also like courting her. I like dating her. That's fun. The point is, marriage is about being focused on our serious, legal, committed, covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to see the picture of marriage as God sees it. It reflects the relationship that the bride and the bridegroom has. Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. And as flawed and as messed up as we can be as people, He loves us unconditionally. We got to believe that. You know, a lot of times we sing about the love of God and we get to thinking, well, I don't know that I love Him like He loves me. Well, He knows that, but you're not going to ever do nothing to make Him love you more. You're not going to ever do nothing to make Him love you less. He loves you unconditionally. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's it. So accept His love for you. At the end of the biblical story in Scripture, the curtain comes down to the sound of a wedding feast in Revelation 19, 6 through 9. And there is going to be a grand union one day when He calls His church home, and the church, the bride of Christ, will be joined with the bridegroom. And there will be a marriage supper in the sky. I'm getting chills as I'm talking about it. I mean, that's just going to, what a day that will be. Look up here, folks. I think we're near that day. I really believe we're so close that it's right before us. All right, so I'm trying to give you a picture of, yes, your marriage in the light of what the Bible says, that He is married to us. Jesus is married to us. We're His bride. That's my first point. We're the bride of Christ. He says in verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord." Attending a wedding for the first time, a little girl whispered to her mother, "Why is the bride dressed in white?" And the mother replied, "Well, white is a joyful color. It's a color of happiness. And today is the happiest day of her life." The little girl thought for a moment, and she looked at all the men, and she looked at the groom. And she said, "So why is the groom dressed in black? Isn't that the color we go to the funerals with?" Just saying. But we're the bride of Christ. We're His chosen possession. He chose you. And we need to start seeing ourselves as the bride of Christ. But we also need to understand how this is in the context of the whole holy union called marriage. All right, let's talk about the word, that dirty word in Scripture. Submission. Nobody wants to talk about it. And mainly it's because we don't understand it. "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as in the Lord." Just the word submission raises the hair on the back of your neck. Verse 21 is the key, though, the verse before that. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." You see, I'm of the opinion that there's no fear of God much in our homes anymore. So we rebel and we grow stiff-necked in our marriages. I want to ask you something. How is it working for you by not submitting? Oh, I've done a bunch of weddings. Oh, more than you can ever imagine. I have done hundreds and hundreds of weddings. I always write my own ceremony. And I've used this word submission, and it has offended people. I mean, it's not my word, it's God's word. It's interesting, of all the weddings I've done, and I've looked back, and I remember one many, many, many years ago where this lady had a problem with this word. And they're still married, but it has been a roller coaster, up and down, up and down. So I want to ask her today, well, how's it working for you? You see, God's got a divine plan. We may not like His plan, but folks, you and I have got to learn to submit to God in everything. Aren't you glad that Jesus submitted to the Father when He prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done"? Aren't you glad He submitted Himself when He died on that cross and He paid your sin debt? He was in total submission to His Father's will. He listened to His Father. You say, "Oh yeah, He died on that cross because He loved me." Yeah, He loves you, but He died on the cross, first of all, in obedience to His Father. That's what He did. Submission to the Father's will. This is what the Bible says. So how is it working for you not to submit? Submission has nothing to do with the order of authority, but rather governs the operation of authority. We see a picture of the husband and wife having equal value, yet having different roles within marriage. To appreciate and understand Paul's writing, one must remember that this is according to what he has addressed. And he says that who have been united in the Lord. The key phrase in this verse is as unto the Lord. Paul's addressing, remember this now, you got to remember the context. And so many things are taken out of context. We miss so much of God's word, we take it out of the context. Paul's addressing Christian husbands and wives who has a desire to please the Savior. The fact that they use Christ and the church as the illustration and evidence that he has the Christian home in mind. You see, Paul is talking about Christ and his church as the illustration. That's the evidence that he has the Christian home in his mind in discussing this. You see, within the Roman Empire of that day, a woman was unimportant. Even in the home, she had no authority in the home. Her chief responsibility was preparing meals and bearing children. That was it. Women were pretty much nothing but property. The elevation of women to a position of honor, respect, and dignity came with the product of Christianity, Jesus Christ. He lifted women up. The woman at the well, I'll tell you what Jesus did with that woman. He loved her. She'd been married 5 times, and the man she was living with was not her own, but Jesus, he showed his love to her and saved her. I think that's what you and I need to do better. If we're going to reach the lost world, we got to love them to Jesus. Amen. I mean, we have a hard time loving one another and understanding one another. We've got to learn to submit to the bridegroom, the head of the body, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to see a lot of parallels here, because even as we talk about the man being the head of the home, that's because Jesus is the head of the body, and we submit to his headship. So the second word is servanthood. That's where I want to talk about headship. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. The church serves and submits out of love and appreciation for the sacrifice Christ made on their behalf. The basis of the relationship grows out of verse 21, where Paul says, submit to one another out of reverence, out of fear of Christ. Jesus is the head of the body, not the pastor, not the priest, not the pope. We have this just blows my mind, that Jesus chooses servanthood as the style of leadership as the head of the church. Did he not? What did he show to the people he was discipling? He showed them that love is washing feet. Yeah. Leadership, servanthood. He showed, in fact, one of the most loving things you could do is wash someone's feet. I challenge you husbands, as the head of your home, to wash your wife's feet. Amen. I'm serious. I got one amen. Jeff, it's going to happen, brother. Look up here now. I'm serious. It's one of the most humbling things you could do. It is. I mean, as the Bible says that you cherish and nurture, you wash those feet in love. You just touch those feet in love. And you know what? That is the true picture of servanthood. Yeah, Jesus served by washing feet. Yeah, he showed love by washing feet. So you know what? It's a good thing, I think, that we who are responsible to be spiritual leaders and heads of our home have a foot washing at home. Just do it. Just you and your wife. That's it. No one else. Just you and your wife. And I promise you, there will be a spirit of humility to come over you. There will be. Been there and done that. Marriage is a call to serve. Christ-like love takes initiative. Avoid being a passive husband. Actively love your wife. Christ-like love involves not just service, but also a Christ-like attitude in how you serve. So when you want to stick out your chest, sir, and say, well, I'm the head of this house, then get on your knees. Amen. And wash your wife's feet. Third, subjection. And the question is, what's the difference between submission and subjection? We'll look at verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. What is the difference? Subjection is first and foremost to the Lord. Paul's talking about a godly marriage where God is in control, not just a man, okay? So that's the problem. The subjection is about control. God is sovereign. Where God is in control of your marriage, home, and children, there will be blessing. Where you think you've got to stick out your chest and say, I'm the man of this house and I rule this house, then that's probably the reason it's not working, because you're ruling it and he's not. You see, the difference is that you see yourself as the spiritual leader in your home under his headship. And the beauty, we're fixing to talk about the body of Christ, and not only the bride of Christ, the beauty of the body is that the body is supposed to do what the head says. Amen? And there's only one head to a body. Two heads is a freak, okay? So most families are out of control. Most children are out of control because God is not in control of our families. That's why it's all messed up. It's out of order because we are in control and God's not. You want your home in order? Then let God be in control. He said, well, how do I do that? Well, as the spiritual leader in your house, make sure for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? You read God's word. Spend time. You know, our children are all grown, but Sherry and I spend every day at least an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. You say, well, wow. You know, sometimes you have to get up early. And we spend it in God's word and in prayer. And as we subject ourselves to his control, our marriage goes great. God knows how to make marriage work. Did y'all know that? Yeah, he put the first man and woman together. So let's talk about not only the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. You see that in verse 25 and 28. Listen to these verses. Husbands, love your wives. And then he says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies in verse 28. We're talking about love. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, the Bible says. He's talking about unity here. We're the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the body. And let me tell you something real quick about this love in the body. When we truly have love for one another, we will always think best of each other. We won't be suspicious of each other. We won't be questioning each other. We're going to be going to each other and working through differences in love. You see, we are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the body. If you're all rightly related to the head, then you will be rightly related to one another. Did y'all hear what I just said? If you're rightly related to the head of the body, let me tell you something. Every member of my body is rightly related to my head. It is. Or the body won't function. You want to know why members of the body don't get along and they don't function? It's because the bottom line is whether you're rightly related to the head. And only you and God know that. I don't know that. If we're all rightly related to the head, we'll be rightly related to one another. We are to love the body of Christ. By this, the Bible says, shall all men know that you're my disciples. Preached that last week. John 13:35. This is how the world will know, because of our love. And husbands, it's interesting. Did you look at that verse in the Bible? Where he says, wives, submit yourselves unto the Lord. In other words, you do it voluntarily. You do it because you want to. But then he says, husband, love your wives. Let me tell you something about love real quick and about women. I can't say that I've ever understood a woman. I'm not one. Okay? But my understanding is this. I'm not a woman, so I don't get it. Okay? But my understanding of a woman's needs is that a woman needs to be loved. That's according to God's word. That means you giving her a lot of security in your relationship. A wife, I think, now, I'm not a woman. We'll make sure I understand that, because I'm not arrived. I'm not going to be there either. I'll never be a woman. Okay, I'm a man, 100%. I want to make that clear, okay? Maybe we need to be clearer today. But women want to feel loved, and they want to feel secure in their marriage. That you're gonna be there for them. You're not walking out on them. And there's the difference between marriage and dating. And let me tell you something. My point is this: Jesus is never gonna walk out on you. Amen. You can feel secure in the relationship that Jesus said that what the Father had given me, no man can pluck from my hand. And he loves us enough that he will not let us go. Hello? You'll never ever be unloved by God. You can be secure in that relationship. And I think that's why women, they want to feel loved. Women want to be loved. Of course, you know what men want? They want respect. And that's right here in Scripture. It tells us the wives are to respect their husbands. The husband is to love his wife. And that goes with my next word, the body of Christ, loyalty. Loyalty. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. Do you feel love, wife? Wife, do you feel loved? If not, it's not because God doesn't love you. It's because your husband doesn't know how to show love. And I think a lot of men, I was thinking about men and how we men, we know more about taking care of a car than we do taking care of our wives. We really do. I mean, you think about a man. I remember when I got my first car. Man, which I won't married, so I guess that was, you know, I gave that car a lot of attention. Man, one speck of dirt, one bug get on it, I clean it off. I took care of that car. I had chrome rims on that thing. Man, it was a sharp-looking car. The paint just sparkled, and I kept everything perfect in that car. I even put paper over the floor mats so I wouldn't damage the floor mats. I mean, I just really cherished, and I nourished, and I looked after that car because I knew how. But I'm going to tell you, a woman is a whole different ballgame. But in the same way, what if I'd have took all the time that I took with the car with my wife? I mean, what if I did everything to shine her up and to, you know, care and do something special with her, make her feel special and nurture her and look after her and take care of her? And that's what I'm talking about with loyalty. As a man would take care of his own flesh, take care. Why? Because the Bible says you're one flesh. Hello? Why would you do that? Why would you go all out for a woman? Because she's part of you. One flesh. That's what the Bible has in mind here. One of the key verses here about married to Jesus is that verse, let's see, I believe it's verse 30. For as we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. One commentator said that was one of the most profound verses the Apostle Paul ever wrote. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I just want to draw your attention to it. We are members of his body. We're members of his flesh. We're members of his bones. We are to be one. We're to be loyal to God and loyal to one another. And then, of course, life. The body of Christ has life in it. Verse 30. For we are members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. We are his life. The life of Christ lives in us. For we are the body of Christ. This is one of the most profound statements ever made. His triple message concerning body, flesh, and bones of Christ emphasize the dependency of the Lord and his church, each for one another. That's what's so profound about it. In other words, we know, we clearly understand that we need the Lord. That's clear in our minds. But according to what Paul was saying here, the Lord needs us as the vine. I preached that on that Wednesday night, was dependent upon the branch to bear fruit. So the branch depended on the vine for support, substance, and security. Either one without the other was helpless. The body, flesh, bones need each other. The Lord and his people need each other. In some strange but wonderful way, Christ says, I want my body. We are the body of Christ. We are his body. We're his hands. We're his feet. He's gifted us with his gifts so that we might accomplish all that he's given us. Folks, let me tell you something. There ought to be life in his church. Because we don't serve a dead Savior. He is resurrected in you. So the same power that rose Jesus from the dead now lives in you. And you can do, Jesus said, you can do what I've done and greater things. I'm going to go to the Father. And I'm going to be praying for you, church. So why is it that the church don't succeed? Why is it that the church don't have life? Why is it so many churches are dead? Because we're not operating as the body of Christ. The body of Christ operates with love. It operates with loyalty to God, one another. You stick in here through the thick and the thin. Listen, this is my number one thing about marriage today, and it breaks my heart with the millennium generation. Well, if it don't work, I can get out. Did you know the Bible doesn't give you a way out of marriage unless it's death or unfaithfulness? Marriage is till death do you part. One man, one woman, one life. That is God's design. We want to know, why don't we have life in our marriage? Why is it that relationships can become so dull and dead? I'll tell you why. We've left Christ out of our marriages. Where Jesus is, there's life. Sure there is. You want your marriage to liven up, then let Jesus take over your marriage. The problem is we want to be in control of it. We want to call the shots, especially. And yes, I am going to be hard on us men because God's going to hold us men accountable. Every one of us. The men are accountable to God. Yes, you want responsibility? You want to say, I'm the man of my house? Then be a man. Don't be a wimp. Any wimp can walk out of a relationship. And I got to say this, any wimp can hit his wife. That's a weak man. You want to be a strong man? And you want to hit somebody? Find someone your size. Find another man. And let it be a fair fight, right? I'm not condoning going out here beating somebody up. But I am saying this, don't hit a woman. Folks, that is a sin against God. And I promise you, God can take care of you. That's a dangerous thing. By the way, I don't want nobody saying nothing about my bride and speaking against my bride or doing anything against my bride because you're going to have to answer to me. Well, guess what? That's how Jesus feels about his church. This is his bride. You better be careful what you say about his bride because Jesus can take you out. He can if he wants to. Amen? Don't say nothing against his bride. And you say, well, I'm a member of the bride. I'm a member of the body. Then you be extra careful, amen? Because this groom paid too dear a price for you just to fool around. You be faithful to that bride, the bridegroom. You be faithful to that wife. You be faithful to that husband. Last, and I'm done, the blood of Christ. And I can't think of a better way. You say, preacher, every one of your messages end with the blood of Christ. Well, I don't know anything any better. And if y'all want better preaching, you need to get you one of these preachers that can preach modern preaching. I'm going to stick with the blood. Christ died for the church, which displayed her sinfulness and his saving grace. The biggest problem in marriage, I'm going to wrap it up today real easy for you. The biggest problem is in marriage is in one little word, S-I-N. And the I means you've sinned. I've sinned. We've all sinned. So the biggest problem in marriage is sin. The ultimate solution to the sin problem is the blood that cleanses us from all sin. Because marriage is not merely a social convention, but is rooted in the Lordship of Christ, who is gracious. You can have a great marriage. You can have a great relationship. Yes, I want to point you as we leave today to the precious red, ruby, royal blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because it's his blood that washes away our sin and cleanses us. Number one, it's a sacrificial love. You see that in verse 25. As Christ also loved the church and did what? And gave himself for it. Acts 20, 28 says, the church of God, which has been purchased with his own blood. Jesus is the husband, the bridegroom, and he says to his church, his bride, you're to die for. And by the way, that should be the attitude of every husband about his wife. You're to die for. I loved Amy's prayer today. I mean, the way she described that, I was picturing it as she was saying it. And she was talking about keeping your garments beautiful and untarnished. And she used that word. And she was saying that the groom would look at it and say, wow, that's my bride. Isn't that what Jesus wants to do? And thank God that he has shed his blood so that he can look at us and say, that's my bride. I have forgiven sin. I have washed their sins white as snow. There is no spot, there's no wrinkle because of the sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ gave himself for the church, so the husband in love gives himself for his wife. Jacob so loved Rachel that he sacrificially worked for 14 years to win her. And Christ's sacrificial love is a foot washing love. Did y'all hear that, man? Christ's sacrificial love is a foot-washing love. I'm trying to sort of start something here. I'd like you to start doing some foot-washing. Yeah. You see, his headship is our model. He came to serve through, though he was head. He sees in Christ authority coupled with unparalleled humility and love. That's what Paul is talking about here. He's showing sacrificial love. Second of all, I like this, sanctifying love. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It is here is what they call a positional sanctification. It's not a progressive sanctification. And that is clear as Paul goes on to say, he did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot, wrinkle, anything like that. But holy, he says, and blameless. The washing of water here is not baptism. The church is not perfect. It has its spots and wrinkles, but spots are caused by defilement on the outside, and wrinkles are caused by decay on the inside. You can go through all the water you want to. The water has no redemptive power. I'm telling you what the Word of God says today, and it's by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are made right with the Holy God, because His blood was holy and perfect and right, and it was only His blood that would satisfy the Father. And the Father said, "This is my Son, and I am well pleased." Now you are clean through the Word, John 15:3 says. You're clean to the word which I've spoken to you. And then last but not least, this is a great word for you, church, a satisfying love, a satisfying love. Look at verse 31, 32. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh." This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in this church. Many Christians are not married to Jesus in their marriage relationship. They are dating him in their marriage relationship and most of the time in their personal lives. They're not satisfied in their marriage because only one can satisfy the true longings of your heart as a man or as a woman. Some have not followed the direction of Scripture for the marriage relationship. That is to leave, hear me, preached a sermon 3 years about this. Leave, this was the title of the message. Leave, cleave, and weave. I like that title. You're to let go of mom and daddy. You're no longer in that relationship. Yeah, you're still their child, but now you are in a committed relationship with a husband or a wife. You're to leave your father and your mother, and you're to cleave. You're to be joined as one in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're to be satisfied in that marriage. And if you'll just learn to weave, let me tell you what this weaving's about. It's loving each other as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I mean, it's just loving on each other. I think about the precious people in our church, and there are many here. I'll tell you, I think of Miss Faye. Today's her birthday. I never met Jim Klein, but I feel like I know him. Jim Klein loved that woman. Can I get an amen? And that woman loved that man. She's never married because she's still in love with Jim Klein. I can go on the other side of the church, these two over here, we got lovebirds now, I'll tell you. J.W. and Mary Lee, oh yeah, they hooked up. I love what this man taught me. J.W. said, "Oh, Pastor, we've had our problems. We've just decided never to leave each other." You see, that's the older generation. They made up their mind going into marriage that they were never going to get unmarried. And I'm sure that Mary Lee thought several times, "Lord, help me." But and I'm sure J.W. said, "Lord, help me." But the Lord did help them. Amen. And they've been married 61 years. Is that right?
Since 1958.
Yeah. Wow. They've been married as long as I've been old. Praise the Lord for that. Praise God. They could be my mom and daddy. Yeah. Isn't that a great example?
Amen.
Listen, young folks, listen to mom and daddy over here, J.W. and Mary Lee. They said, "We've had our problems, but we're never going to be unmarried." You just make up your mind. You leave, you cleave, and they have done some serious weaving. They are like one. You look at one, you look at the other, and you know, they look the same. I mean, they've been together so long. I'm sorry, Mary Lee, I didn't mean to insult you. You're a beautiful lady. But anyway, the point I'm making is this. Folks, this is a picture of Jesus Christ. Marriage is. And His church. Do y'all get it? So are you married to Jesus in your marriage relationship, or are you just dating? You're just going through the motions. Because dating says, well, I can walk out if I wanted to. You know. But marriage says, even if you want to walk out, you don't. Thank you, Mary Lee. You don't. Make up your mind today what you're going to do. Here's the secret. It's all in Jesus. It's all in Christ. And if you understand this scripture, in Christ, then you'll get it. Let's all bow our head for a closing prayer. Father, help us to get this today. May we not miss you. Everything in this scripture says in Christ. Do what you do as unto the Lord in Christ. It's for Christ. And so pointing out these marriages with Jim and Faye Klein, J.W. and Mary Lee Griffin, Lord, we can see Christ in that relationship. We can see your love, because I've seen the love of God in these relationships. We thank you for the example that they give us. May all of us be encouraged, because the only way marriage will work is in Christ, because you're the one who instituted it. So how is submission working for us today? Well, we've decided we're not going to submit to you. We're not going to submit to the husbands. We're not going to submit to wives. We're not going to submit to nobody. Children are learning to be rebellious. Got a lot of rebellion today in our homes. Our homes are out of control. God, may we come back to you, and may your word wash us and make us clean. As we come to your word today, I pray in Jesus' name that we'll make a new commitment. Right now, before we leave here, this is the most important part of this service. So I pray your 2020 vision can be seen as we sing this song. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.